Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's bow our hearts to pray. Eternal Rock of Ages, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jehovah, we appreciate you. We thank you for your great love towards us. Lord, who is like you in all the earth? There is none like you. Lord, when we were unlovable and despicable, you came, you laid your life down for us. And Lord, today we can be called your children because of your great sacrifice. Lord, we thank you, we appreciate you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that you did not leave us hanging. Lord, you left your word for us that by it we might be nourished, by it we may grow. Lord, as we look into your word of life this morning, Lord, by it let us be nourished. By it let us grow in the name of Jesus. We thank you, blessed Redeemer. We give you praise and we give you glory. For in Jesus' mighty name I have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. If you don't mind, please rise to your feet so we can read the text for today. Our text today is taken from Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, 1 through 15. Luke 8, 1 through 15. And we're continuing our topic that we started last week, that since you are born great, you might as well dare to be great. You're born great, therefore dare to be great. Luke chapter 8 from verse 1. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. I want us to, we're not coming back to this, but I just want to make a quick note of this right here. The Bible says this, some of these people were some of the people that ministered unto Jesus in their substance. Have you ever thought about how Jesus sustained his ministry? Because the 12 were always with him and they were always having food to eat. Trust me, from time to time, they needed money to spend. From time to time, they needed food to eat. It was not every time that he was multiplying fish and multiplying bread. No, 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 no. He did that for them to know that there is power mighty with God. He was demonstrating the power of Jehovah to them. So from the before the time of Jesus, through the time of Jesus, up until now, the people that love God are the one that will always sustain the ministry of the word of God. I pray that God can count on you to do that. In the name of Jesus. And we have some great people in this house that have been doing that for so long. Put your hands together for yourself. The Lord bless you. The Lord increase you. The Lord honor you. The Lord multiply you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. Verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not hear. May you see and may you understand in the name of Jesus." Verse 11 says, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God." Amen. "Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." 13. He said, and they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, for which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. That which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But they, verse 15, let's read that 15 together. But that on the good ground are they which is an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. In the mighty name of Jesus, you may please be seated. God bless you. So the last time we met, last week, we started talking about this sermon series that we are really born great. That is what the Lord did when we came on the scene. And because we were born great, I'm giving us a challenge that we dare to live a great life. Amen. We dare to live a great life. Without any doubt, you and I were born with the DNA of greatness. Somebody say amen. Now he's talking to me right now. The word is talking to me. I have a DNA of greatness. Why? Because my father is a great father. The one that created me in his own image and in his own likeness is a great God. We just need to look at the vast universe and we will understand this. So the last time we looked at the text, Matthew 22 from 34 to 40, and we zeroed on love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And that was where we pitched our tent. We're supposed to continue, but the Spirit of the Lord will not let me move past this for now. So today, we're still going to talk about the heart a little more. We're going to talk about the four different kinds of hearts that a man or a woman can have. And as we do that today, I pray that the Lord will minister to you in Jesus' name. And as we start today, I would like to start with a story. I had this... 2 days ago, we were going to the hospital to visit with someone, and I was listening to the radio in my car, and a preacher on radio told this story. Listen to this. So this guy has a son, a teenage son, that just seemed to care less about life. You know, he really couldn't tell which direction this boy's life was going. So he decided that, okay, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do something to test to see what is in his heart. Amen? Can I tell you something this morning? What you do when no one is looking is an indicator of the things that are in your heart. That's food for thought. Anyway, so let's get back to this. So he decided, he said, okay, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a test. And based on this test, I will know what is on this boy's heart. So what he did, while the boy was in school, he went to the boy's room. And beside his bed is like a nightstand. A lampstand. So he put four things on the table. He put a Bible, and he figured that if my son walks in and picks the Bible, that means he's going to be a preacher like his father. That's a good thing. So he put the Bible there, and then he put a silver coin next to the Bible. So, well, if he picks the silver coin, that means he's going to be a businessman. That's a good thing, you know. And then he put a bottle of Jack Daniels. If you don't know what Jack Daniels is, that's good for you. You don't need to know. It's bad stuff. Anyway, so he put a bottle of Jack Daniels next to that. He said if he picks this up, that means he's going to be a drunkard. That's bad. He's going to be an alcoholic, you know. And then next to that, he put a copy of Playboy magazine. He said if he picks the Playboy magazine, that means he's going to be a womanizer. And that's not good. You know, so as soon as the boy, when it was close to the time that the boy would come, he went and hid himself in a place where he can at least see what the boy is doing without the boy knowing. So the boy came back from school, you know, threw his bag on the bed, you know. So what's this? So he took the Bible, put it under his arm, took the coin, put it in his pocket, took a shot of the Jack Daniels, and started thumbing through the Playboy. The father said, oh my God, he's going to be a politician. So He took all four of them. And that combination is a bad combination. It's a bad combination. Amen. But today we're looking at the four types of hearts that a person may have. In the text that we have read, it's a very common text. We all know it. The parable of the sower. If there's one parable you have heard about so many times, it's this parable. As a matter of fact, last year's summer, we did a series on the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was the first parable that we talked about. But I pray that God will give us new insights as we look into this today. The first type of heart I want to talk about is the hard heart. The hard heart. Listen to this. The Bible says, as the sower was going upon his field, it says some fell by the wayside. If you understand anything about farmers, their seed that they are going to plant, they are very precious to them. In fact, they will guard those seeds with all of their lives. In this age of genetically modified food items, those seeds are even more precious now, very expensive. In fact, those seeds today, they are even programmed genetically to ensure that you can't replant them. And if you want to replant, if it's the one that is replantable, you have to ask permission, because those seeds have been patented. They have trademark, they have patents on those seeds, even today. You know, so farmers are not careless people like that, especially with their seed that they are going to sow. Amen. So it's not a question of the man is going and the bag is leaking and the seeds are falling by the road. No, that's not what it's talking about. When you understand context of scripture, you will have a better understanding of what this is talking about. On every farm, even till today, you know, well, maybe not so true because of mechanized farming today. You know, it's tractors that are doing everything. But on farms, there are always parts where the farmer will walk through, right? When he's working on his farm, he has parts. So those parts are parts where people walk on, and those parts, because of constant traffic on them, the ground has been compacted. Nothing can grow on that soil. If you drop a seed there, the seed will be trampled over. Amen? That is the first kind of heart he's talking about there. Those that their hearts have been hardened, that nothing can grow there. Those are the people that the gospel does not make sense to them. The Bible says, if this gospel be hidden, it is hidden from those that the God of this world has blinded their eyes. I pray that there is nobody like that here today. And if there is anyone like that here, I want you to know that with God, there is a solution. With God, there is an answer. And the scriptures actually told us that we should not mock at those kind of people because we were like them before. There was a time that you and I, we were rebellious against the word of God. But praise Jesus. Thank God today that you love God enough to declare him and say, Jehovah, he is my God. Jesus, he is my Savior. Jesus, he is my Lord. If he is Lord in your life, why don't you shout hallelujah? Hallelujah! The hardened heart is the one that is resistant to truth. The hardened heart cannot accept truth, cannot accept the word of God. The hardened heart, the people in this category, they are not only hardened, they are also ignorant. They despise the word of God and they trample on the word of God. If you are in such a category today, the Lord will deliver you. The Lord that saved us, he will save you as well. In the mighty name of Jesus. But you know what? God loves us regardless. God loves everybody. Even those that have rejected and denied his word, he still loves them. Otherwise, you and I will not be saved today. Because there was a time we were opposed to him. There was a time that we were really, some of us were angry at God. I wasn't. But some people were angry at God. You know, but he saved you regardless. So this is the number one type of heart. Number two type of heart, looking at that parable, is the shallow heart. The shallow heart, the Bible says that these are the seeds that fell upon the stony ground where there was not much earth. Okay? As soon as it fell there, it grew because there was some kind of earth. But there was not enough earth. In fact, he said in this text that we read, he said because it had no moisture. It had no moisture. You know, the word of God is referred to as what? Water. He says, he said, all over the world, the Spirit of the Lord is moving. He says, and the word of God has covered the earth as the waters cover the sea. The word of God is referred to as water. He said, there are some hearts that are very shallow. They don't have any depth to them. And can I tell you something? Please permit my blatant honesty. Today, that is where many believers today fall. Many believers today are very shallow in their faith. They are very shallow in their walk with God. The slightest problem, they begin to query and ask questions about God. That is this thing really true? I have believed a lie. If God be God, why is this happening to me? You know why? Because that word that was sown, even though it started showing some fruit, and you started walking with Christ, you started loving God, you started being like Him, but after a while, the slightest tribulation, the slightest trial, you query God and you turn back. That was my story. Because I don't want anybody to think, oh, pastor is pointing accusing fingers this morning. No, that was my story. I remember a few years ago when I gave my life to Christ, I was telling somebody this on Friday, almost every Sunday when they make the altar call, I'm in front. You know why? Because I come to church this Sunday, I hear the word of God, there's a great conviction in my heart. And because of that conviction, I come, I say, Lord, I'm sorry. And I'm weeping. Lord, I will never do it again. Never, ever, ever. I cry, I weep, I do all of that. I go through the motions. Monday, I'm still holding up. Tuesday, I'm struggling. By Wednesday, I'm back to my old ways. By Sunday, I'm back in church and I'm feeling sorry for myself again. You know why? Because the word. Can an usher help those people? Ushers, please pay attention. On Sunday, by the time Sunday comes around, all the seeds that I had eaten, just open the door, let them come in. You're welcome, sir. Hallelujah. Ushers, they should figure a seat for themselves. Why can't they sit here? Let them sit here. I'm sorry. You're welcome. Sorry about that. Let's put our hands together for them. God bless you. You're welcome to the house of the Lord. You know why? My heart was shallow. There was no depth in me back then. No depth. None at all. So any wave can blow and blow me away. Why? Because I was not grounded. Why? Because I was not established in Him. Why? Because I was not settled in Him. If you are and what we call those kind of believers is the yo-yo Christian. Anybody knows the yo-yo? It bounces up and then it goes down. And then it bounces up and then it goes down. Their Christian walk is up and down. Up and down. But that is not the plan of God for you. God wants to elevate you. God wants to lift you up. God wants you to live to the fullest of His potential inside of you. Jesus came to show us the way. Jesus came to be an example to you and I that this life is possible. When Jesus came, He came fully man and fully God. Praise the Lord. He suffered some of the things that you and I are suffering today. Amen. Why? So that He can appreciate the feelings of our infirmities. Amen? Amen. Amen? Amen? My heart was shallow. Many believers' hearts today is shallow. No depth, no earth. The word that is sown, it grows for a little bit, and then the devil comes. The Bible says the birds of the air, they come and they eat up those seeds. The birds of the air, they came and they eat up those seeds. You know why? Because there is no depth to it. When a seed is planted, the first thing that happens is what? It begins to, first of all, the seed dies. As the seed dies, it begins to come back to life again. And as it comes to life, it doesn't go up, it goes down. It takes root downward. It takes root downward. And the deeper it goes, the longer it will survive. Amen? You know, but today, many believers, once the message is preached and they give their life to Christ, praise God, I'm born again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. No, the next step is a discipling process. I said to some people the other day, it is unfortunate that the will of God and the will of the church today is divergent. God is seeking disciples. Churches are looking for members. Let's just fill up the church and increase the offering. Let's increase the money in the bank. Don't misunderstand me. Money is important. This is paid for by the generous donations of the people. Amen? So money is required, but way beyond money, God wants your heart. God wants your heart. God wants your heart. God wants my heart. Friends, every shallow heart will not last long. Every shallow heart is waiting for the right kind of disaster to happen, the right kind of storm, and they are blown away. Every shallow heart is one storm away from backsliding. Jesus, listen to this. Jesus said to Peter, and you and I need to pay attention to this. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 32, Luke 22 and verse 32, say, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Listen to me and listen close to this. Wow. This Jesus is speaking to Apostle Peter. Apostle Peter was one of the leading apostles amongst the 12. He was the very vocal one. He was the one that just told Jesus that thou art the Son of God. And Jesus said to him that flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. He was a strong man, so you would think. Until he began to misjive. And Jesus said to him, get thee behind me, Satan. What he was saying to him is, Peter, you need to dig deeper. Peter, you need to take root downward. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, he said the house of Jesse shall take root downward, and then they will bear fruit upward. Many people today are living their Christian life on the surface. On the surface. So Jesus had to say to him, he said, Peter, you have followed me all these years, but your heart is not converted. You know the lingo. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are doing deliverance. We are doing all the Christian language. You know it. But there is no depth to you. Say, your heart is shallow. There is no earth to it. You need to come closer. You need to dig deeper. You need to be rooted and grounded. You need to be established. Friends, I pray that you will not encounter the kind of storm that will sweep you away from Christ Jesus. I pray for you. I pray for you. But more than that, you must begin to take root downward. Friends, the Digging Deep service we have on Tuesday, Bible study, is not for the person teaching it. It's for everybody. Amen? The prayer meeting on Thursday is not for the pastor. It's for everybody. Amen? If I must grow and take root downward, then I must make specific steps and say, Lord, I take the bull by the horn and I will ensure that I have depth inside of me. You know, there are some encounters that I've had in my journey with Christ. I remember, many people here know my story. 1994, I was broke and busted. Broke and busted. You know, there were threats on me from the people I was owing. And I was having sleepless nights. My sister is here. I was having sleepless nights. When I traveled home from where I was back in Africa, from the city where I was, I traveled back home, and my family saw me. My mom was weeping because I was a shadow of myself. I wish we were doing Biggest Losers then. I will have won, easily. Arms down, I will beat everybody. I'm telling the honest truth. I lost like 20, 30 pounds in a period of 1.5 months. I melted away. When my mom was weeping. Okay, the testimony that I've shared with you all of this time, this is my sister that gave me that money. I honor you. Hallelujah. Friends, we must take root downward. Today, those things did not move me. In fact, I used to walk. I had a car. I couldn't even put gas in my car. Don't forget, I'm a veterinary doctor. Dr. Sani, I didn't have money for gas. In fact, the car was about to be taken from me because I was owing on the car too. So I just said, don't let me get used to this car. Let me just go park it. At least by the time they take it, I've not missed too much. I will walk, and I kid you not, God is my witness. I will trek 5 miles, 6 miles to church. And what I'll do, because I couldn't imagine myself missing Bible study for any reason. So I will set out early, walk into church. So I make sure I get there early. If you know where I was living, it's like San Antonio in the summer. It's a city called Kano, back in Nigeria. So I will trek to church. I'll make sure I get there early. So I will freshen up. I go to the bathroom, wash my face, and then I go hang out with them in the office, you know, with the AC, so I can cool down. You know, and then afterwards, I go in for service. When the Lord turned around my story and I shared the testimony, everybody was angry with me. Brother Koye, how come you didn't tell us? They will have denied me my testimony today. I needed to go through that to strengthen my faith. Friends, it's not every adversity that is for your destruction. Some adversity are to make you strong. When it comes to provision today, I know God will provide. He did it before, He will do it again. I am so sure, I am so confident of that. Why? Because by the grace of God, I have taken root downward. Friends, the desire of God is not for us to have shallow hearts. That is not His plan for you. That is not His plan for me. And don't forget, Jesus is the one telling them this parable. The third kind of heart is a crowded heart. Crowded heart. This heart has depth to it. But this heart is a kind of heart that you can call the busybody heart. It's busy about so many different things, it cannot focus on the right things. When you hear people say things, and I, okay, when you hear people say, I have to, I tell people, the only thing you have to do is make heaven. You don't have to nothing. No. You know, there is a way, we give ourselves a lot of significance, a lot of credit that is not due us. Trust me, there is no job, no assignment you are doing today. God forbid if a person passes on. In fact, it won't take them 1 week before they replace that individual. And guess what? The new person, because they will have learned from your mistakes, they will make sure the new person they are hiring doesn't have the flaws that you had. So the new person will even do a better job than you did. Friends, the only thing I have to do is make heaven. That is the one requirement I must live by. That I must make heaven. I must make heaven. The Lord has saved my soul. I must not lose my salvation. I must not allow the cares of this world, the lust of life, the deceitfulness of riches. I must not allow it to choke the word of God in my heart. Many people know the word, but cannot live by the word. You know why? Their hearts are crowded. Desire to get this, desire to do that. Oh, I want this, I want that, 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 up and down, everywhere, everything. Oh, crowded heart. The heart is crowded with too many concerns. Too many concerns. And such people, anytime you are around them, they are always complaining. Oh, I don't know this. Oh, this is happening. Why is this? And I've been praying. I have fasted. Nothing has changed. Complain, complain, complain. I told the workers this morning, complaining is like bad breath. You can only smell it from somebody else. You can't smell your own. So you, the listener, you are the one that can tell that this person nags and complains too much. But the one doing the nagging and the complaining, say, no, I was just talking. No, you were complaining. You were just whining, 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 whining. And this is the way it's sounding in the ears of people. You say, I was talking. No, 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 no. This is what they're hearing. Crowded hearts are always complaining. They never get enough. They are always asking for, if I can get this, then I'll be happy. If I can get all the things that you have gotten already, how many happiness has it brought you? There was a time you were trusting God for a car. You got it now. There was a time you were trusting God to go to America. This is America. You are in America. Life. You are not hearing me. You are here live in America. In fact, some people fasted and prayed to come to America. Now you are in America. So what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The crowded heart is always seeking this and seeking that. And that is what keeps them busy all over the place. He said, I'm so busy. Busy doing what? Listen to me. Listen to this. Listen to this. And I'm going to wrap up very quickly soon. Listen to this. Every human being has 24 hours. Why is yours not enough for you? You are busy about too many business. You are busy about too many business. I don't have time to pray. Really? President Obama has time for all the briefings. There's a senator in a Senate race that is in trouble now because he didn't make a briefing, a classified briefing. The opponent is using it against her. Why? Because she chose something else over that. Life is full of choices. Ask yourself, what choices are you making? What are you choosing over your growth and your walk with God? What are you choosing over your life in Christ? Vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. And guess what? Everything ends here. Fire. Somebody say fire.
Fire.
Say it again.
Fire.
Like you know it.
Fire.
Everything will be consumed by fire. All the houses, all the cars, all the yachts, everything. Fire is going to consume them. Because God has promised that he will never destroy the world with water again. And then the fourth and the final heart here is a good heart. Friends, you say, Pastor, why do you keep talking about the heart, the heart, the heart, the heart, the heart? Listen to this. Last Sunday, I told us to guard our hearts with all diligence. Why? Because out of it flows the issues of life. Everything you need to be great in life is already deposited in your heart. Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. He said, O Timothy, he said, guard and keep those things that have been deposited into you that were entrusted to you. He said, guard it. Guard it because those are the things that will bring significance in your life. There are many things inside of us that are begging for expression. God has deposited so many great and wonderful things inside of you, inside of me. If only I can realize a tenth of them, I will be greater than I have imagined. They have told us that the people we call genius are people that have used 5% of their brain capacity. I wonder what the rest of us are using. Some people are still on 0.0001. Friends, there is so much in you. Never look down on yourself. You are greater than you can think of. Even our minds cannot comprehend our greatness. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. There is greatness in you. I said there is greatness in you. Guard your heart. Protect your heart. That is where the issues of life will flow from. The Bible says in Song of Solomon chapter 4 verse 12. Song of Solomon chapter 4 verse 12. It says some people's spring have been shut up and their fountains have been sealed. Every spring that has been shut up, I speak life to it now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Every river takes its source from a spring. And the Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. If the rivers are not flowing, perhaps the springs have been shut up. Every spring that has been shut up, the Lord will open up. In the name of Jesus. Every fountain that has been sealed off, the Lord will open up. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The fourth kind of heart is a good heart. And that is the heart that is productive. He says, and it bringeth forth a hundredfold. It bringeth forth a hundredfold. Listen to me. If my heart today is a hard heart, the Lord will soften it. If my heart today is a shallow heart, the Lord will deepen it. If my heart today is a crowded heart, the Lord will unclutter your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. And the Lord will give you a good heart. Rise to your feet as we close. Psalm 51 verse 10. Listen to this. Psalm 51 verse 10. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Why don't you go ahead and pray? Say, Father. Please say like you mean. Say, Father. In the name of Jesus. Create in me a clean heart. Oh, Lord, create a new in me, a clean heart, a clean heart. A heart that clings to you. A heart that loves you. A deep heart that is ready to receive all of God. All of you. A heart that is all out for you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Create in me, oh Lord, a clean heart, a clean heart. A clean heart. A clean heart. In the name of Jesus. A heart that loves you. Totally. Completely. In the name of Jesus. Le karana makoro koso koto lo predia. Ye karada bagadagaragada boshagadagada. Create in me, O Lord. A new heart. A clean heart. In the name of Jesus. A good heart. A heart that loves you. A heart that loves the things of God. In the mighty name of Jesus. I praise you, O Lord. Do something new. Do something beautiful. Do something excellent. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Is there any